Atención.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2011, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. Call 1-800-522-1164. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the Rosetta Stone solution is easier than ever before. For your free demo, call 1-800-522-1164. 1-800-522-1164.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm J.D. Holliday, and welcome to A Story is a Good Story with your host, Marcia Casper Cook, here on BTR's World of Ink Network. Be prepared to call in and chat with Marcia and our very special guests today, authors Michael Davis and Larry Sheridan. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on September 20th, 2011. A good story is a good story. It can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. As I mentioned, we'll be taking your calls towards the end of the show. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, the phone number is 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259. Or you can join us in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Marcia.
Hi, how are you? Well, we're lucky you got in. I know, you know, you're an author also and an illustrator, and you were going to produce the show today. Let me just explain something. As usual, every show that we have, there's always like a something that has to come first. Well,
a little
the, as usual, the blog talk does it was not working for people to call in. The guest called in, I called in, JD couldn't get in. And I just did a show with Fran Lewis, who I've done with shows before. I was not supposed to be doing a show with her, but nobody could get in, so I got in. I stayed for an hour, and I left my office, and the computer was on with the phone, and so hopefully everything worked out because they said it did. But this is Blog Talk, so hello to everybody, and we hope we will have no interruptions. If we do, we'll call back and we'll be on, hopefully. We haven't been off yet. So hi to everybody, and hi, Michael.
Hi.
And hi, Larry. And
hello, Marcia. Hello, Larry.
And
Larry.
I've been on a show before. Larry was on our show, I think, a few weeks. Well, she was on a show with Fran, and we had, like, about, as usual, like, probably 20 people on the show. And Larry
Busy show.
I know. This one I thought would be a little more low-key. So I wanted to give you just a little bit of time to talk about yourself because we didn't really have that much time on that day. So I know about you, but our audience doesn't. So here we go.
Wow. Yep. There's not a whole lot to tell, I guess.
Well, there is enough. There's enough.
I wrote the novel A Work in Progress and published it this year. It's a conspiracy theory action adventure, and it's a way to try and give some people an escape from reality for a little while. And my style of writing is a visual style. I try and create a real visual image for people to watch while they're reading. So it's almost like you're not just reading a book, but you're also watching a movie. That's what I see in my head, and that's what I'm.
Well, hopefully they'll want to do it as a movie. Hopefully,
well,
that'd
be great
that.
Too. That'd be great too. I'm just a regular person that decided to give it a shot, and it's done okay.
Well, you have very good reviews, and people are liking it, and this is the first book you've ever done. So, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, it's a fast read; people are enjoying it, and you're on ebooks, which is a great thing, which we'll talk about later, which puts us all on a great in a great big audience of everybody, because we're all, it doesn't matter what publisher you're with, ebooks is that way. We'll talk about that later. And are you working on anything new now? Or?
I just released a Kindle version of a collection of short stories a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still sort of finishing up the print version of that. That'll have a couple of extras, and that's just, you know, I did that for 95 cents just to have something else out there if people wanted to see it, but those are very different than this book. And,
well, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea because I think the 99 cents, you know, it depends on the book and it depends on the person. And it does. You can always stop it. See, that's the good thing. It's not in print, so you can change it later to actually be whatever you want. You know, and that's the good thing about the e-books is if it's not printed, you can change the price.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of freedom and a lot of flexibility. And really, if I could have done them for free, I would have. You know,
yeah.
just
well,
because
you know
I felt like it would get it out
there.
That.
People are doing that for free. Right. Go ahead.
Well, they wouldn't, for whatever reason, they wouldn't let me, but I'm working on the sequel to the work in progress as well.
And you
so
also
I'm about
have
a third through.
You work, though, so you have a career. Do you want to just say what you do a little and so people know
I'm a financial, I'm a financial advisor with an international firm, and, you know, part of my agreement is that I don't talk about them while I'm
right.
talking about this, you know, and I don't
okay.
do this while I'm supposed to be doing
okay.
that, but,
right,
yeah, I've got another life.
Okay, see, but that's, I only bring that up for one reason, is because everybody says, oh, I don't have time. Well, that's not true, because you have a full-time job, and you can't. You can do these things and work. You know, you don't have to leave your day job and be a writer. You know, but you know, but most writers write at night, which is what you do. You don't write in the middle of your day. So I think that people that don't write sometimes don't realize that we're all, that's when we all write, at night, most of us. And so I think that that's a good thing. And Michael, do you want to come in and you can join the conversation and tell us what you do? I met you on a show that Ree McGahey was supposed to be on, but was with Our Jeffries, which is always, they always have great shows. And I met you there, and you were a great guest. So I said, I'll call you again because I wanted to have you on. You had so much going on and a lot of books and a lot of different things, and now you've got a video coming out. So you could tell us a little about yourself.
Absolutely. To know me is to love me. I started this journey.
There we go.
I started this journey back about 6 years ago. I worked for most of my life in the military industry and the intelligence community, and I'd always wanted to write fiction. I had these stories, you know, accumulating in my mind, but there was always some emergency at work or some crises at home, and it was just never time. Then I decided if I was going to do it, I better do it now when I hit 55. And so I started trying to write. And after 2 years, I was just about to give up when I got the call on two contracts. And since then, I've got published or in contract right now 8 novels, and let's see, what is it, 5 short stories, all in the genres of either romantic suspense, thriller, or sci-fi. So it's a little bit diverse, and I really, really enjoy it. In terms of the DVD, what happened was whenever I'd go on an interview, like for a newspaper article or at a signing or like these radio shows, some of the questions I would get related back to the bumps and bruises I experienced when I first started out. And I began to realize that there's a struggle a lot of people go through. I think every one of us has experienced it when we decide whether we want to share that secret voice that's going on in our head. And so I decided to do a workshop. It was a 2-hour workshop, and I was giving it one time. And somebody came at the end and said, hey, great, fantastic, I want to buy the DVD. And I go, well, I don't have a DVD. And they go, well, why not? And I went, good question. So then I started doing this DVD, and it should be out about the middle of October, and I'll have sources where you can buy it and some trailers. All of my books are available in both e and paperback. Not the short stories; they're just e.
You know, when I wanted to ask you about trailer, I wanted to ask you one thing before I forget. On the trailers
sure.
that you do, I listen
yeah.
to you. Now you have your own voice on the trailers, and it's very good. You know, I mean, that's a good. You know, it's an interesting because you talked about yourself a little on like the VD on the you know on the trailer.
Well, what I tried to do,
which is different than
I
most
thought
people
about.
Do.
Right. What I thought about was the strategy of what readers might like. And behind every story I come up with, one of the things I cover in the DVD, one of the topics that I'm asked is, where do the stories come from? And for me, they all start with a premise. For example, my first novel, which was 6 5-star reviews, was called Tainted Hero. And the premise was, sometimes good people do bad things for the right reasons. So I start with that premise. And that's where I write the stories. Now, you asked me about how I build the trailers.
Yeah.
What I do is I connect it to myself. For example, I got an award called the Rose Award for my novel Blind Consent, and it's based on my memories in the impoverished South with a bunch of intrigue and really funky thriller stuff going on. And so it was based on partially my life and certain things that happened to me during a period in my life. So on the trailer, that's what you're seeing. You're telling me explain the story behind the story. Now, your observation that they were my voice is true except for one, which when I was going through cancer, I got my son to record one for me to finish that up because I had no voice. Fortunately or unfortunately, whatever, it's returned. My voice is returned.
Yes.
And so that's where the trailers come from.
Well, it's probably, you know what, actually probably they wouldn't know it's your voice. I just thought of that right now. I knew it was your voice because I had talked to
you.
Well,
you can probably notice what some of the people say is a little more gravelly, a little more sexy, which does me no good at this age. But my voice is the radiation kind of loosens up some of the chords. So if you listen to me now, as well as on the pre-cancer, my cancer was in my throat, in the larynx, you'll notice a little bit of increased treble, which I can live with.
That's the thing. You know, that's the thing to celebrate is that you're here, because I knew that would come
up.
Yeah, it's
funny.
A real
quick funny side story. I'll make it really quick. My granddaughter,
okay,
who
we
I
have
adore.
Time. We're not going anywhere. I hope not.
My granddaughter, which I adore, I had totally lost my voice before I went into the treatments.
Yeah.
And after about 3 weeks of the treatments, I started gaining my voice back, and I was talking to her. She goes, "Papa, where did the frog go? Did it jump out of your throat?" So in her mind,
kid,
I had
right.
a frog in my throat. That was kind of funny. Well, she was only
right,
4 years
cute.
Old at the time.
That's cute. Yeah.
It is cute.
But, you know, right.
Anyway,
but, you know, luckily, it did come back. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a fortunate thing. It was, I say that it was a year in hell with Satan's spawn.
Yeah.
I never thought that going through, you know, most people who have not endured cancer treatments
thank God.
Really have no idea how, I want to say, primitive and archaic the treatments are in terms of they essentially poison you with chemo and burn the hell out of you with radiation.
Well,
yet the survival rate on average has gone up since 1970. I think it's from 40% to 70%. So that's the good news.
Yeah, it's high up.
But the treatment, many treatments though that they have when they involve, especially in the throat area, are very, they're rough. It took a year before I returned from zombie land.
Right, because I think with Michael Douglas, they were afraid he wouldn't get his voice back, but he did. You know.
Oh yeah, and like I lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Which for me is 50 pounds is. Yeah, that was only about, I don't know, 8% of my weight or whatever. But, I mean, I'm a big dude. But it's a pretty rough experience. So when you talk to somebody else who's gone through cancer, there's like an empathy in the eyes. I almost tear up every time I see somebody who's gone through it and survived. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic.
No, I know
a
lot
of
people that have. I know a lot of people that have.
Yeah, it is rough. It is rough. But I'm happy I'm here.
I mean, I worked in my other life. I was a lab technician, and we did do, you know, I worked in hospitals and things. So it's come a long way, and it is good for, you know, I mean, it's a very tough year a lot of people go through. But it's well worth it when, you know, they regain themselves again. They feel like themselves.
Absolutely.
It takes a long while to get back.
There's a lot of residual damage that stays with you forever, and I won't go
I
through
know.
That all.
No,
but
I
the
know.
Fact
I,
is you're alive.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, you're writing and you're successful, which is good. You know, Larry is self-published, and he's been getting so much acclaim because he's self-published, and actually Amazon's paying close attention. Larry, do you want to talk about that a little? Because that's a good thing, because you are a self-published author who is moving on, which is very good.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I met with a a publishing company today, and they said that they'd not come across this either, but Amazon basically took my book for whatever reason and put it on sale. And with, you know, and it doesn't really affect me. It's more of what they're gaining from it. But both CreateSpace and the people at Amazon and an author's the author's central area, neither one had said that they had ever seen Amazon do that with a self-published independent author
before.
Well,
that means that they've been paying attention to what's going on, which is,
I think so. I mean, it's you know, it's the sales are coming along, and but you know, based on the ratings that the reviews have gotten, you know, in the top rated section, it's now at number 8 in action adventure on the Kindle top rated, and number 8 in mystery thriller, and it's been in the top 10 the last week and a half in that section. So that's been really nice. I mean, you know,
that's phenomenal.
I'd rather
Larry.
Have it
that's
be
really
sales,
phenomenal.
Though, you know.
Yeah,
I'd
good,
really like
good.
It to be sales.
Yeah, well, that's really good. I've read articles about, there's a couple people out there that went the self-publishing route, and y'all may have seen these stories. I'm not self-published. I'm with a...
You're with Champagne. I wanted to talk about it. They have a lot of authors.
Right. I'm with Champagne.
I want to talk about them.
But these two cases, which are really interesting, there's two self-published authors back about 6 months ago. Y'all have read about this. One, it was her first time romance. She made over $1 million.
Amanda Hawkins.
Yeah.
Amanda Hawkins. Yeah.
Yeah, we all read that.
And the second one was
Yeah.
Right. The second one was a horror, an established horror writer, and he's making $100,000 a month.
J.A.
Who is it?
J.A. Say it again, Marcia.
What was it? Who was it? You know who it is?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember his name.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't hear about that one.
But the interesting thing is, I've also, and I, you know, being a kind of anal retentive and a mathematician, I try to figure all these things out, and yet there's other people I've read articles about that are only selling, that are only selling about 40 to 100 books a month. Yeah. So there's something going on. There's a variant there somewhere that's driving it, and it's not the genre, because those other two examples, one was pure romance and one was horror, so I'm not sure what it is.
I think it's just, you know, I think it's just you put the book out there and God knows what can happen. I mean, and that's the truth. See, I've been always, you know, I am actually I don't know if you know that reopened and our Jeffrey's involved in the new publishing company, Dancing with Bear Publishing, and that was Ree's book that she wrote. And Ree McGee was a romance novelist for years, and in the sexy romance novelist, and now she's like turned over to do real clean children's books and whatever. And she's wanted to publish my children's book. So like I'm actually now published, and also I am with World Castle now. They've picked up one of my books, and now it's Feel the Passion, which is the reason I'm bringing this up is because I've done this for years, and I've self-published my own books, and I didn't want to, but I did because there were just so many rejections, and there was nothing I could do. When people like the books, and JD knows about this also, and the thing is that it can happen. So Dancing with Bear is a new publisher, and World Castle, they're very new publishing people that have really gone out, and they have, I think it's great because they've gone out and they're doing their own thing now, and they're small publishers, and I really do, knowing both of them, seeing what they're doing, they're doing a great job. So I think that now there's a place to put people that were once self-published, and if people keep writing and keep going on, and Larry is one certainly that they're going to pick him up. I mean, there's no doubt eventually that you're going to be picked up. But the thing is, it can happen, and it does happen.
Stat for you to consider, Larry. You may actually make more money in self-publishing than you will with, say, a small independent AAP associated publisher.
Yeah.
In part of my DVD, I had to do some research. And you know what the average sales are for people in the indie and self-publishing arena is?
It's,
per,
it's
per
not good.
Book.
It's not high. It's not high.
It's not
it's
really
like,
good. There's only a few
it's
that
like,
really take a lot of money.
It's,
well, I think the majority,
like
the majority sell less than 100, don't they?
Right.
No, 200.
Yeah.
The average are 200. 200. Yeah. And the interesting, right. And the interesting thing is that if it's another, this is another one of those things. When I heard it, I went, oh, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know what the rejection rate is out there for people?
Oh, I know. I was an agent.
I'm not talking self-publishing. I'm talking about people that want to be associated with an AEP, like publishing.
Yeah.
You know what the rejection rate is?
Oh, it's a huge number.
All right, I'll give you the number. It's
probably 99.
It's
91.
Well, it's worse than that. It's yeah. one in a thousand, between 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 2,000 people make it through the door.
Okay.
I mean, that is astounding.
Well,
yeah,
the point of it, you know, the thing is about that, the thing is, the problem is that I found, and which is why I continue on, is because I know that they're not even paying attention, and most people give up. And that's what I always say, do not give up,
yeah.
keep going, you know.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
And you
you're
have
right.
to keep going.
And that's
By
one
the
of the
way,
things
it's,
I told.
It's J.A. Conrath that is the.
Oh, that's
writer.
Right. That's right. That's
yeah.
right. You were doing.
Okay.
You were doing the search while we were talking.
I was doing a search. That's right.
Technology is
well,
our best.
He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. He lives in Pennsylvania here, and
yeah, he's
and
an
so
interesting
I,
guy.
I've had
very candid and very honest. Yeah, but Marcia, you talked about the fact of I teach my granddaughter a new word every time I babysit for her. And I call it, and I said this in the DVD, to be an author, unless you've got connections, you know, you're got a political friend or you're sleeping with somebody or whatever, then you've got to have audacity. You've got to have stick-to-itiveness because there was a book done by a guy, it was called The Novelist. And one of the things he said was that in general, you had to write like 5 books before you got published, and the average time, I think, was between 3 and 6 years to become successful. So, like I said in this DVD, I said, you know, you're not talking months here. I was very naive. I thought I was going to do it in a couple months. It took me 2 years.
Oh, a lot
you know?
Of people.
Well,
2 years
isn't
bad.
I was 25
yeah, it's not
years
bad.
And didn't get published, and I had to publish on my own. And I, it's okay. not like I didn't have – I had an agent. I had – editors interested in my work, but I never got my books in print. I had short stories published, and eventually I said, geez, I'm going to die, so I might as well publish these myself.
Well, yeah, well, that was why at the age of 55 I said, holy moly, I'm going to do it. I better start now. It's going to take me forever.
Well, you know,
it's
really interesting because Larry will know about this because he became friends with Gerard DeMarini, and he told me, actually, and other people, too, and when we were on the show, to read John Locke's book, which was How I Sold 1 Million E-Books in 5 Months. And I know that Larry probably read it, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did read
too.
It. And it's a brilliant strategy. I mean, I think it could, you know, I mean, I started it, actually, that strategy, you saw the first blog from it. On the 11th, and thank you, Marcia, for having me as your guest blogger. I appreciate that. That was really kind
welcome.
Of
you're welcome. Anytime.
But yeah, it's a simple strategy, and the problem, you know, the problem is it's not. I think that if you're writing, you know, like I am, it's something that I enjoy doing, and so it's as much for me as anything else. But it'd be great if one of the babies, you know, was able to grow into an adult, let's say, metaphorically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the bottom line, but money's important. But if you can get a publisher in there that can take some of that off your shoulders to let you do what you do, and then they do those things that are so hard to do in the marketing side.
Right.
But you know, it's
you know,
just
Larry,
so expensive. It's tough.
But you were on the
you know,
same
Larry,
show
I'll
that
tell
we
you
had.
What.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, Larry, I went through a metamorphosis about 2 years ago. I'd almost considered giving up with the writing. And I went through kind of, I talked to a bunch of author friends. It's one of the nice things about the field. There, people are willing to share and everything. And one of my author friends, she said, you know, Mike, you just can't stop. She says, those stories, I've read your books. Those stories are in you. They got to get out.
Yeah.
And I think that that is part of, I transitioned from worrying about the money to enjoying when I get the emails and the reviews and getting the stories down. Now, someday if one of mine becomes a movie and my granddaughter becomes rich, fantastic. But I'm not so sure that matters anymore. And
no.
you might get to that stage.
I think in your case, certainly you know what you've gone through in your life. I think right now is probably for you, like whatever happened. That's how I believe in when you've lost people, you know, in life and stuff, and you learn that, you know, money isn't the only thing in life. Then that's what happens. You start.
Yeah, I think that's a very astute observation, Marcia. And I think you're right. I think it changes your whole foundation.
Yes.
And what's important.
Yeah, and then I think that. And Larry,
well, your perspective changes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that book, and that guy, that's John Locke. I tried to get him on the show. I'd like to, but he, you know, the book is really—it's a very simplified book, and it just says. But he says, don't wait around for a publisher; just get self-published. And that's what I tell people, because if you don't ever, if you keep them in a drawer, they'll stay in a drawer. Like our books, none of us know. JD, none of us, all of us, Jan, all of us do not know. You know, Larry, none of us know if our books will stay on forever, and they will, because they're out there. And nobody really knows what the success is. And someone can pick up a book 10 years from now and say, you know, this is going to be a good movie.
Well, Marcia, let me tell you a little tidbit about that. Two interesting stats. I think I've got the names right. Either of y'all, have you heard the name of a guy by the name of, have you heard a guy by the name of Dix?
No.
He is the author. When I tell you the books he's written and the movies, it's going to blow you away when I tell you behind
it. Yeah, I probably know him by the movies.
Right. Now, listen to this. Minority Report, Blade Runner, Total Recall. I go down that list. These are amazing stories, some of my favorites. And the guy ended up, if I have it right, he was dead after the stories became movies.
Yeah, see, right.
So,
yeah,
and the guy who wrote the book, A River Runs Through It, which is a fantastic story, was caught after he died by, what's the guy's name, Robert Redford, and made into a movie.
Yeah.
So
that was a good movie.
If your goal is to reach out and touch, you still, just because it doesn't happen when you're in this world, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Well, that would be, I was just on a show like that. We on Fran Lewis's show, she's the book, we just did that. We were talking about the past world, you know, and it was tunnel vision. It was interesting because, you know, that's really true. We don't really know what's going to happen with our books. And, you know, I am a screenwriter. That's really what I do, and I am optioned, and hopefully there'll be movies. But my book, I first wrote my screenplay, then I wrote it a book, and then my book was better than my screenplay, so I'm going to go back and write the screenplay again. But screenplay writing is, I love it. You know, and it's hard to make a movie. A lot of times now they're taking them from books because they'd rather have somebody on their own team write the story, you know.
Well,
and,
here's the guarantee. Here's what I guarantee you, Marcia and Larry and everybody. If you stop writing, zero probability of that.
Exactly. You're right.
So if you enjoy it and if you're growing and if your caliber and your capability, you know, one of the things I tell people in these workshops, I said, look, set aside your first book when you write it. Then go back 2-3 years later and read one of your other ones. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How you evolve, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, I look at my old work and I go, I know why nothing happened. So I look, you know, but even my children's books, now they're out, and I never thought they'd be out because self-publishing wasn't around. And now, you know, now that Reed's taking two of the books, and I mean, the kids love the books, and I know what you're saying, because when I go to the schools and they buy the books and they love it, you know, I'm happy then. And this is things that most writers never see because they give up too fast. I mean, almost every client that I've ever had left. They
right. Well, that's one of the reasons. Yeah, I'll tell you, that was one of the seeds for me doing that DVD. I thought, geez, you know, I wish somebody would have told me all of these broken avenues and paths that I had taken.
Yeah.
And that's why I did it. I tried to record it. One more thing, before I forget it, because I am an old man. on the
never
lead
talk
page
about
of my
age.
Website. Well, I can add to that. I'm an old man that still goes through chemo fog. You know, on my link page of my website, there's an article I wrote for a magazine back about, I want to say a year ago, and it was called Self-Promotion, What Works, What Doesn't. And it looks at, I think it was 24 avenues for promoting your book And I rack and stack them based on statistics I collected over a two-year period. You know, things like the effectiveness or the relative effectiveness of social networks, of contests, of radio interviews, of, you know, all kinds of things. And so if you're starting out as a newbie, you might want to check that out. It's on the link page of my website. The website is davisstories.com, and go to the link page. And I think it could be helpful for a lot of people.
You know, like, I've noticed that at Champaign Publishing, they've got a lot of writers.
Oh, yeah, they do. They've got a cadre. I want to say, now, let me think here for a second. I think they've got about 60 to 70 writers. And they put out the average number. Here's another interesting stat. You know how many independent and mid-level publishers there are in the United States?
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Okay, I'll give you one. I'll give you the number, 86,000.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
86,000.
Right. Yes.
But most of them put out between 7 and 10 releases a year.
Yeah.
Well, Champaign, if I'm correct, I think they put out about 50 to 60 a year. And the owner is a very, very smart lady. Now, I know she's not listening, so I can say this. She's a very, very smart lady, and I love the woman. She's got a tremendous business sense. And the authors that she gets, I've read some. We critique each other's stuff. They are just top-notch, really amazing. And she doesn't, you know, I don't know how it is other places. Just knowing, I've had people ask me, well, you think it'll help if I mention your name when I submit? And I go, no.
No, right, exactly. You know, and this World Castle, I think she's got, I've had them on the show several times, some of the writers. And I'm telling you, these people are writing like there's a, there's like Karen Barton. She started out writing, and
Hello?
Now she's got like 10 books already. I mean, she's like
Hello?
Really writing. And, you know, well, and
Hello?
See, that's the whole thing, Karen Barton. And then there's like, the woman that owns this is Karen Fuller, and she's taking on a lot of new writers. And she's putting out these books, and it's great. Like you're saying, you're right. She's put out already a lot of books. I think she's put out 35. She just started, and she's got some really good authors. And the one thing about her authors is they're all working together, which is great. But she takes what she wants, you know, just what she wants. And I'm sure that she closed hers for the, you know, Dancing with Bear. She's closed hers already, the submissions. She had so many submissions. So that's a good thing. They're up and coming, and that's, really, but see, and then on the other hand, see, but Larry, you're doing good. So it's like sometimes you don't want to then, after you're doing okay, that you don't want to go publish again with somebody else. But
Marcia, is Larry still here?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Oh, Larry's still here. Okay, Michael's dropped out.
He did?
Well, see, that's my Irish side. I just lock everything up for myself.
Right. He'll come back on because he's in Skype.
He's on Skype. Okay, I'll watch for him.
I can get. You won't be able to get him on, but I can get him on because
that's
what happened.
Well, I'm actually in the push board. I actually got in. I got in about 10 minutes ago, and I got the chat room open.
See, I don't know how that. See, this is what something is really strange.
I know.
But,
and
yeah.
By the way, Fran's in the chat room, and we were talking about the problems today.
Right. Yes,
hey, Fran.
Yes.
How you doing?
Well, maybe Fran wants to. Fran might want to ask it. Come in. Does Fran want to come in? She's tired.
She's listening, so
okay.
She'll type.
Go on. I want to say Fran's a wonderful person.
Larry, she says hi. I'm sorry, Larry.
Yeah,
because
I
knew she was going to come on. Right. Yeah, she's great. And so, you know, and she knows what happened today with the show. But, yeah, Michael, he's very interesting. I hope he comes back on that Skype. See, that's the whole thing now. See, everything has changed so much. Even in the 2 years that I'm doing the shows, now they have Skype. And, see, that's the problem. The people don't stay on with Skype.
Okay,
yeah.
Marcia, Fran is going to call in, she says.
Okay, good.
Well,
and I hope,
Marcia,
I hope you get Michael back.
Uh-huh.
One thing I was going to say is I think that one of the things you were talking about is that new publishers are finding a way to get the books out faster, whereas the old publishers, it takes, you know, a year and a half to 2 years to go through the whole process. And the market is moving too fast for that, so the newer publishers have had to find a way to adapt to that, you know, and that's I think where their success will come
in. I think
in
right. I think
that,
oh yes, and I think your book, and you know, you've got a few too.
Hi, Fran.
So that's a good thing. Fran's here.
Hi.
Fran's here. There you go, Fran. See everybody.
I'm so sorry. I decided I would stay. I finished all the books I have to review, so I figured I'd, you know, say hi.
Okay.
Hey, Fran. How you doing?
I'm okay, Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing even
ready
better since you're here.
Who, me? This is past my sounding time, but yeah, I finished all the books I'm supposed to read, and I refused to go to the mailbox. So I decided to listen in and see what we guys were talking about.
That's what I said. I know. I said you should come in and listen to, you know, because I know. And, Larry, you know, I hope there he is. He's going to come back in. So
I hope so, too. I don't know.
He's in.
Okay.
Are you back? Michael, are you back?
Michael?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Skype just...
That's okay.
We're
waiting for you.
We also have Fran
that.
Here. Fran Lewis is a
Hi,
very
Michael.
Great... Is a good
hey,
reviewer.
Hey, Fran. Sorry about that. I have to come in on my cell phone. Skype went down. I can't get it to come back up.
Yeah, I know. That's, you know, I guess it's too... life is too technical these days. Fran, we know about that, right? So this is Fran Lewis.
Today, yeah.
Fran is a really good reviewer. She gave Larry a great review.
Yeah, so she's obviously brilliant.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, obviously, yes.
Yeah,
we've all had reviews from her. JD has had reviews because JD is a really good author, and she's an illustrator also of children's books. And then we have, right, and Michael will probably send some books to Fran because Fran's a really good reviewer. Everybody could use Fran's reviews.
We're going to get it for you.
And she reads you. Thank you.
Do you have your own blog, Fran?
Do I have my own blog? I have about four of them, and I've got a whole bunch of people on Facebook and about 20 sites there, and for some reason people actually read what I write. I have no clue what they do.
I read what you write.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I post it on my blog sometimes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well,
if you
send me or give me your email offline, I'll be glad to send you copies.
I'll send you her address because I can speak for her because I know she won't. She
That's right.
Only she wants the book. Right? You're too tired. I know that because you were up at 1 o'clock in the morning. But I'll give you her address because she, you know, she'll she doesn't read e-books because. Nope.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get it from you offline so you don't have to give it over the.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it to you. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
No sweat. Now, I got a new one coming off a release in October called Whispers of Innocence.
Yeah, I know. It's not out yet, though, right? It's not out.
Well, no, but it's already got a top. What do they call it? Top reviewers pick 5-star, 4-3-quarter star.
Yeah,
because
I know that it did. It got there. I know without it being out. You know, let me ask you a question because JDF. Now, when you look you up, do you say use your W all the time or not?
Say that again.
You have a middle name.
Oh, do I use my middle name whenever I can remember it?
Well, it's just I try to remember it that way.
I try to remember it. There's a lot of Michael Davis in there.
I know, we went through that.
There are.
I was telling
you, so,
she said, I know, that was what happened.
And so if I can, I do remember it. I mean, if I do remember it, I do use it. But I wanted to tell you all one other thing. There is a list of about, I want to say, 70 or 80 sites out there that it used to be self-publishing was kind of a dark sheep of the family.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten where it's not. And there is a lady put together a fantastic list of all of the websites that will review self-publishing. And Larry, if you email me offline, if I can find what the hell I did with that, I'll send it to you if you're interested. That list.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Yeah, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, it's really, you know what, it's taken on a new life. It really has. Because they're realizing that people really actually have good books. And they're not like books that they just put together with like the glue. I mean, you know,
it's
addictive.
I think it's going through the same paradigm shift that electronics media is going through now because I looked at the stats and it's going through exponential growth in terms of the sales and all.
Well, they never thought it was going to be like this. And, you know, I have a new children's book called No Clues, No Shoes, and I talked to Fidelity Publishing, who published it, and she said people were buying it. I didn't really think because the e-books for the children, it's still, the numbers are out. It's not as popular.
Oh, listen. Let me tell you something. I've got a pie diagram in my DVD, and religious and youth books can make up, I forget the exact percentage, just like 45%
really?
Of the genre, which amazed me. Yeah,
wow.
I mean that's a lot. And I belong to a local group, mostly for fun, to help some of the people who are trying to start out. And they've got about 100, I think, local authors. And I would say most of them are in the youth and children's genre.
Right.
I mean,
really?
That's amazing.
Well, there's a lot of children's writers. It's so overloaded. It's unbelievable.
Well, and if you go to Predators and Editors, y'all know what that is. I mean, I'm sure y'all know what that is.
I do.
They actually break out the publishers for youth and what do they call that? YA and children.
The young adult.
Those that concentrate in the area of YA and children's books.
Yeah, that's a big area now, the young adults. I mean,
it's
a huge area.
It is.
Yeah. But, you know, and the other thing is, all these, the vampires and all of that, you know, it's very interesting, though, because it's not only the kids that are watching, it's the parents are reading them, too. I mean, they really are, because of True Blood and all of this, it's a big...
One of the stats, I apologize for doing this, but it's just so fresh in my mind. Another one of the stats is the amazing number of ladies that are in the paranormal region.
Cool.
By that I mean I'm including vampires, shifters,
yep.
Or not body, what do they call it? Not body shift, what do they call that? Form
shifters.
Paranormal, all of that. Werewolves, and, you know, they've got a website out there, I think it's called Bitten by Books. And it's all about, you know, ladies reading about vampire and all this paranormal area.
But the men are reading it too. Men are reading it, and because of True Blood. And let me tell you something, on the World Castles, they've got a lot of writers like that. The covers are gorgeous, the books inside are good, and they are a loyal bunch, and everybody's reading each other's and sending it out, and people love it. It is a big phenomenon. That's what's it right now. It's, you know, it's not for everybody to write or read, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's funny how the stories... Like, y'all know about, what the heck was her name?
Sorry.
I have an old memory. It's the lady that wrote the Potter series. I think it was.
J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling.
Well, did you know that her publisher, and there were like six other ladies like this, authors, was instructed not to use her name? You know why? Because they were afraid that the young boys, when they found was a lady writing it, that they wouldn't buy it. Now that it didn't matter anymore. There was like six major female authors, I can't remember all the names, that did the same thing, you know, because of a stereotyping. Like people, a lot of ladies walk up sometimes to me and
Larry,
go,
have you ever thought about that? I don't know if Larry's ever thought about that. I mean, I don't know that I can do that, but Larry, have you thought about that at all? Or
About that genre?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, you know, my short stories have got a little bit of that in there, but, you know,
thriller.
I'm more of the thriller and just the adventure. Like Stieg Larsson. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I like the ones where you really have to think them through, and hopefully you've got to think about my book a lot, and not just, you don't speed read it. If you speed read a book, you're not going to enjoy my book. I mean, I can tell you that up front. But you know, the thing is there's so many genres out there, and there's such a big audience, and the audience is just expanding with everything that's going on. You know, the technology is just opening up the doors for everybody.
I mean, I think it's so great because I've been, you know, and I just, you know, I hope that the people that gave up will somewhere come back and put some of their books out, because some of the people that really from the past that I used to have as clients, they were so good. They just didn't want to hang in. And, I mean, I just hung in because I love it, you know, and I'm not stopping. And with all the books out there now, I'm sure some of them can be great, you know, but they just, they, you know, it, there is a certain thing you have to, you have to have, like, you're right, Mike, Michael, about that, because you have to really have it in you to do this, because otherwise, if you think you're going to make $1 million, Fran and I have talked about this all the time, it doesn't happen. And what's going to happen, though, the good thing is for people is I think that people that are just doing it for the money, they'll be out of this, and the rest of us, thank goodness, will have less writers to be in competition with, because they'll have decided if they're not making a lot of money, and they'll be gone.
Here's the thing. When I write, I assume that this is for most people. I kind of isolate myself in a dungeon, and I live in the world, the fictional world. Like Larry was saying, I mean, my stories are very graphic's not the right word. They're very visual, very you know. I've had a lot of the reviewers say, "My God, they felt like they were, you know, right next to the characters." And in order to do that, you have to isolate yourself from the rest of the world. And I get into the fictional world and. And when I finish a story, I got to tell you, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, it is very exhausting. I think it is. It's very exhausting. And, you know, especially if it's a scene that's traumatic or something, you know. And I know when from World Castle, when she read my book, she said she was crying in part of it. I go, yes, good. That's what you're supposed to do. Good, because
I did. That's funny. Yeah, I had my recent one, Whispers of Innocence.
Yeah, you want that
to happen. Which I collaborated with another lady author by the name of Candace Morris. The publisher said when she read it, she had, both flushes and chills at the same time. I mean,
that's a great thing
to hear, you know. Yeah.
Well, you want something to happen. And that's why, like with Larry, his is also, you know, it's a very fast-paced story. So not everybody can write as a fast-paced like that. And that's a good thing. You know,
well, it's just because I've got ADD. I can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't write it fast, I'll skip to something different. But, you know, I didn't realize that people saying that when they were reading it and cried that it was a good thing, because when people told me that, I didn't think it was really good.
It is a good thing
I'm just kidding.
Yes, you're growing from your emotions. I do want to add something about for myself, I just had to write. I had stories to tell.
Right.
And, you know, I think someone mentioned that earlier, and
Michael.
So no one was going to stop me. I mean, like I said, I went 25 years before I decided I had to do it myself. So I mean, I just had stories to tell. You know, so that's just.
Do you have other books that you have not finished? I mean, do you have like an adult books also that you haven't finished? Or?
You talking to me, Marcia?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I have two teen novels that I'm working on. I work slowly on them because my main thing is doing the artwork for my picture books.
Right.
And but I have about 12 manuscripts, and I only have two in print, as you know.
Right.
And both books in print have sequels.
Well, that's
so,
a good thing. So, well, that's a good thing. You know, but
so,
that's the thing, to be able to write more. Fran, are you still on? Fran, are you here?
I'm here. I'm just sitting and listening. It's a very interesting discussion. J.D.'s books, of course, I read and review them, and they're fantastic. And for anyone that didn't read Marcia's last book, No Clues, No Shoes, you got to meet Emelina. She's hysterical. And you know, I just want everybody to know that I don't always give 5 stars. Like yesterday, I gave 4.75 4. I don't always give 5 stars, and I don't pad my reviews. But you know, the only criticism
Fran,
I get is
I'm happy anytime I can get a 4.5 or 4.75.
And then you have to pay for the, but then I have to get paid extra for the 5. What can I say? No, I read a book yesterday in like an hour, and it was okay. I gave the author a very nice review, and she was really happy. But you know, I didn't over, you know, sound gooey because it was just okay. It was just whatever. But no, you know, I'm honest. The only criticism I ever get, and I don't care, is that my reviews are long, and then that's too bad.
Well, they are long, but they're a synopsis. People can use them as a synopsis, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
They go into
away
detail.
Yeah.
I don't give away too much detail. Somebody said that to me the other day, that someone said I gave away too much detail. I said, no, I didn't. There are never any spoilers, and if I accidentally leave any, then that's okay to tell me because I'll take them out because I don't like leaving any spoilers in there.
I'll give you a little suggestion might be helpful. I noticed, like I said, I'm kind of a stat kind of person. I redesigned my website back about a year ago. And one of the things I did was I paraphrased my 4.5 and 5-star reviews, and on the cover page, I just encapsulated those next to each book. And boy, that like doubled the deep hits that I was getting.
Really?
My buy page. Oh, yeah. So
we won't tell Michael what happens when somebody tampers with Fran's reviews.
Right.
We won't tell you what happens when someone tampers with my reviews. You don't want to know what happens when someone tampers with my review. Someone said to me, my review is fantastic. And then he said, could you publish just the last paragraph, because that's basically what I want. And I said, I could if I wanted to, but I won't, because if you only wanted me to write 2 paragraphs, then I wouldn't have, you know, read the whole book. I could have read the back cover and paraphrased it for you a long time ago. Aha. Yeah, and this was a New York Times best-selling author.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
let me tell you.
I provide the link for the review, and then on the page that has the excerpts and the blurb and all that, then I have a lot of the reviews I get are like, you know, 2 pages long, and there's no way I can put all that on, you know, a single page with the excerpts. But generally what I do on the cover page is I'll, you know, go dot, dot, dot. I couldn't put this book down. You know, it was the best thing since sex, blah, 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 dot, 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 dot. Just so people can see. And then I'll put like 4.5, 5 stars. And then I'll provide the link to the person's site. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
I don't put an excerpt in my review. I just review the book, and then I put my opinion. I don't take anything from the book. I don't put an excerpt from the book, because I just, you know, feel anybody could read the book or an excerpt from the book. But a lot of people do that, which is fine. I just put right what I think, and the hardest thing is to write that first sentence so that everybody wants to read it.
Right.
But no.
But you write a long review, but yes, but you know what though?
Yeah,
the
about
review,
1,400 words, something
but,
like that.
But you know, you can use it for, you know, for synopsis, which is always most writers, I mean, they hate to do synopsises. Nobody likes that. I mean, you can't.
No,
but you love it. You love to write those. But I mean,
isn't that funny?
A synopsis of one of my books would be longer than my book.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
I hate doing a synopsis.
Oh, my God, I hate
way
it.
Beyond what I do, the blurb or the book. I find it harder than writing a book.
It is. It is, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, when you do screenwriting, you have to write that log line, you have to write the and the synopsis. And, I you know, personally, to me, they all sound trite. They just do, no matter how good it is. And then the production companies always say when we call, they go, oh, you know, it has to jump off the page. I'm thinking, like, what jump off the page? You know, the actors have to work. That's what they do. You can't expect it to happen on a paper. And that could be one of the reasons why they have such bad movies, is because they don't pay, you know, they're looking at the synopsis, and that's not really fair.
You know what's amazing? You know what's amazing? I talk to my wife about this. How many of the modern stories that come out that are repeats or rehashes of the same old story? I mean,
look
at King Kong. How many times has King Kong been done? And there's a new one that just came out. It's like the sixth rehash of the same story.
It still makes money, though. That's what the bottom line is.
Yeah, I know. That's because there's people out there that want to do it, but there are so many new stories out there, and
they just don't see them. No.
Yeah.
That's right. You're right, because that's exactly what happens.
Well, don't forget there are, 5 basic storylines. Everything's built on those. You know, you learn that when you begin to write. So, I think they go back to the tried and true. I think that's what happens. And it does bother me, too, though, that every time you turn around, they're making something.
I think there are ways you can take those and shift and contort and change the characters and alter the suspense and intrigue tree, so that you still take the reader along on a beautiful ride.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
and
that's right.
So, well, there was once somebody who said that every story, every thought, every construct has been repeated a million times over.
That's
and
what they
I'll
said
agree
that.
with that.
They say that in workshops, and it's true, though, because, you know, but I've said this many times, like, you know, some people say, oh, they don't want to read this story, that story, a love story, but, you know, a love story is a love story, and, you know, love is love. So whatever, that's what's coming out now, different kinds of love and different kinds of stories, and that's what makes the world go round, and it is so different now than it used to be. And I think there are so many markets open for everybody, you know, and then they do go back, like, well, last night they had on the Playboy Club. You know, and I DVR'd it, and I was watching it. I don't know if you saw it, and it's about the Playboy Club. I think it's in the 60s or the, you know, in Chicago. And I'm thinking, well, okay, there you go. And it's like Mad Men. They're going back to some of these. And, you know, and even though I love Mad Men, and it was really weird because I'm thinking, when I was watching the Emmys, I'm thinking like, oh, my God, they're winning nothing. And they're probably thinking the same thing. They're finished. Anyway, turns out they were the best one for the best drama, you know, and that's, you know, so the stars maybe didn't make it themselves, but the Mad Men just came right in there, and I thought, oh, thank God, because I really like that. A lot of people, either you like that or you don't like it.
I just want to say one thing about the Emmys, though, okay, and just to give a shout out to somebody, okay. Kyle Chandler, who won the Best Actor Award, is a friend of mine, and for him to upset Jon Hamm and Mad Men, which I love Mad Men too. But Friday Night Lights that ended, Kyle just did a phenomenal job, and it just shows.
But why did they take it off though? Isn't that
he wanted to finish.
All right. Good.
Well, he was, you know, it had been on for a long time. I mean, I think they had 6 seasons or so, and I think he wanted to do other things, and you know, he was in Super 8 over the summer, and I mean, he's really sort of
big.
Yeah,
I know, right? He's very good, and you know what? It's
super nice guy.
That he wants. It's good to go out in a good way, then. So he's right. That's a great way to go out with an Emmy.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, the thing was that the quality of the writing in that show was so good, and I think we're seeing that in a lot of places. I think those things, you know, you can't, the formulas, people are relying on the formulas to try and everything's so expensive in the investment side, and I think that's why you've got so many authors that are co-authoring books with new authors, because it's almost a guarantee that it's going to be a bestseller. But on the movies, that they're following those formulas that have been working the last few years, but they're not fresh anymore. That's the problem.
Right.
They're trying to find a way to make them fresh, and it's sort of like a you know, it's
well, they
just
could make them
rhetoric.
Fresh. You want to know why? They could make them fresh, because I've been reading people's screenplays for years, and the truth of the matter is there's a lot of fresh, good talent out there. The problem is they don't want to – they're worried because it costs a lot of money to make a movie. It's not like a book.
Well,
I think
they also, which is one of the things you see in the writing world, they want to go with the same tried and true names that they've used before instead of bringing out new talent. And I think – although that may be great for the bottom line, I think in terms of the evolution and growth of the industry, I think it's a killer. I think that's a kiss of death for.
But there are still some brave ones out there, you know, and Clint Eastwood is one of them. He keeps going, okay, no matter what his age, whatever, he keeps going and he keeps putting out. And now especially, I like his movies now much more than I like the other ones. And I think now, because they've established themselves, they're doing what they really want now. And Robert De Niro, they're all doing what they really want now. They may have done films in the past to get known, and then now they're really picking out the ones they like. And that's a good thing.
Well, I think part of it is that they're willing to take the risk that so many other people are trying to play it safe. And if you don't keep it fresh and you don't take those risks, then you lose the – there's sort of like an electricity that goes along with that. And you know, that's sort of what within my books I try and – it's sort of like the blog, you know, Hope, Where Is It Today? And I try and have some characters in there that – you know, you're rooting for, but you're not sure if you should be rooting for them, you know, and until you get to the end, and hopefully there's some surprises there, but during the book you want to slap them around a little bit and say, hey, pay attention, you know,
they're real people.
You know, Larry, that's an interesting thing. That's an interesting point you made, because in my first book, the hero, Aaron, is kind of he's a dark hero. And I was interviewed by a lady at a newspaper, and she said, after she read the book, she said, you know, I felt guilty. I went, excuse me? She says, yeah, I fell in love with the hero, but I felt bad about it because he was so dark. And I said, well, then I did my job.
Right.
Know?
Well, you know how people like the bad boy type, even though they say they don't, you know, but that seems to, you know, get out there. You see a lot of stories like that. You know, it's just
well, Marcia,
it
Marcia, Larry, and Fran, I want to thank you very much. I've got my boss is buzzing me in the background. If I don't feed her, she'll chew my ear off.
I want to thank you so much. You want to say your website one more time, and thank you so much for coming on. It was great having you.
And listen, I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed it. And Larry, Fran, and I wish you the best, and you too, Marcia. My website is davisstories.com. That's davisstories.com. And the DVD called, so you want to write a novel, it should be out second week in October, and there'll be a, you go up in the left-hand corner, and it'll say workshop, you go to that, and it'll
you know what, you know, also do me a favor, send me in the link in the email, and then I'll put it on my website.
Outstanding. I appreciate it. And listen,
yeah, okay.
Guys, it was a great discussion.
All right, take care and feel good.
Thanks, Michael.
Keep writing.
Thank you, Michael.
Keep writing.
And you guys take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Right, you too.
Okay,
take care.
Bye.
Okay, Fran, are you exhausted? Yes.
No, I'm just exhausted listening, if you get what I'm saying. So does that mean if I review his book, he's going to fix up my review?
No.
Ooh, ouch.
Somebody actually emailed me and said my review was excellent. I won't say who. And then he said, can you shorten it? And I said, definitely not. And I said it to his publicist who asked me to read the book. Then he emailed me again for his second book, and he said, I won't do it because you wanted to change my first review, and you did. So he repented. And I just read his third I read his third book, and I said, if you change a word, I won't read the fourth one. And these books aren't bad. They're good. And the publicist sent me, a review. They send it to Book Pleasures, and then they send me, like, I'm a publisher, like, I know what I'm doing. Really? Okay, not really. And I said, okay, I'll read your book as long as you don't change my review, shorten a word, or dare to tell me I left a typo, but that's okay. I've had people that have actually said, you know, your review is too long, and my answer to them is nobody asked you to read it.
You're actually reading the book, okay? So that's just
I actually read the
book, but you know the one thing that we said before about you is that you actually get it, okay? You get it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And when you get it, you understand the whole story. So that's what you do. And a lot of people, if they're skimming through it, you don't get a book. You know, like what you're saying, Larry, you can't, like, rush through something and just say you read it.
Some people, I think Fran's one of those unusual people that can, you know, because she's just, you know, whether it's real intuitive or just grasps the nuances. But I think the majority of people, when they're skimming something, they don't get the soul of the story. You know, I think they miss it. And if you've written a book that is complex and, you know, isn't written, and I don't mean this negatively, but isn't written at, say, a sixth or seventh grade level, it's really hard to skim it and capture everything.
Right, right.
You're right about that. I mean, I get a lot of books that are quite difficult. I read one last week on Blood and Money and Why People Fight Over Inheritances. You can't skim that. It wasn't hard, and I did read the whole book, every word of it, and the author liked my review. It's just that with a book like that, you know, you don't want to tell too much, but, you know, reading about Brooke Astor was very interesting and all the reasons why people fight. But then there are some books that are, 400 pages that you want to just stop reading it after the first chapter because they're just too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, sometimes it is. Sometimes you don't have a lot to say about whatever it is. Yeah, you know, but, okay, and so on your agenda, when you do blogs, you can send them to me. I'll be happy to put them out. You know, I liked your blog about, you know, September 11th. That was, you know, very nice, a good blog.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, that's a good thing. And, Fran, you have a show tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Yes,
really.
I don't. Somebody's got to do it. But I did a special today. If you haven't listened, Gary Braver and Tess Gerrinson were on my show today. Marcia was on the show today. Thank God, because otherwise the phones wouldn't have been on the show today. And
Sandra said the phones came on when I left the office and left my phone and everything on. She said it went right on. She went on and she got in. And today, like JD, she couldn't get on, but then she's on now. We have no idea.
I lost the chat room for some reason, though, but that's okay. Yeah. We're at the end of the show. So.
Right. It's whatever. But all right, so tomorrow, what time is your show, Fran?
My show tomorrow is at 3, and I have, I think, 3.5 authors. I'm not sure about the fourth one. The fourth one hasn't. I'm saying 3.5 because I had invited 4, and I have no clue if the fourth one's coming on. Because
I think he's probably going to come.
Well, it would be nice, but it would be nice if he gave me a hint as to what the book was about, but not to worry. I could fluff my way through it somehow. I've got Dr. Maxine Thompson, L.A. Blues, which is really a good book. I've got John Betcher, The Covert Element, and I've got Jerry Banks, Vital to the Defense. And as I said on my show today, Jerry surprised me because when I was reading the book, my husband turned around and said, "Do you notice that he quoted you on the front cover?" I go, "Oh, that's nice. I didn't even notice it." Until I realized he said, "Oh my God, you put my name with the title of one of my books on the front cover," so I have to thank him. And I'm not sure if Gerard DeMarini is coming on tomorrow with his new book, Signs of War. I haven't read it, but let's hope. You never know. So that's going to be at 3 Eastern, and please come and listen or join in the chat room or ask some questions because you never know what's going to happen.
That's right. What time is it now? What time is it now?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock Eastern.
3 Eastern, 2 something, or 2 Central, and the rest I don't need to know.
And let me see. Larry can stand for all of this. Let's see. We have the next show is The Family Matters, which is, that must be tomorrow. Yes, that's with, okay, what time is that? Let me see. This is 6 p.m. This is The Family Matters show, and that is with Virginia. Okay, and that is on at 6 p.m. Eastern. Okay, and then we have the Stories for Children show, and that is at a different time on Monday. It's 9 her time, so it's 11 a.m. Eastern time. And then we have a new show starting, which is going to be with Sam Oliver. And you've also reviewed that book, Fran. And
yes, I did.
This
it's
is
going to
be a Q&A, okay, because he is a hospice minister, and he has written many books, and it's about the spiritual and angels. And actually, the writer you had on today, which was very good, talking about this, and it was interesting that I may give him a call because this is a whole, it's about a spiritual, and we're going to be on every once a month on the third, it's the third Tuesday, I think it is, because, Tuesday, September, it's at 8 p.m. Central, and that should be good because it's, call-in questions, and if you could stay up, Fran, maybe you'll come. We're going to try.
It's going to have to be 5 Eastern.
Well, actually, it's 8, so you can talk first. Okay, and J.D., we're doing a couple of shows on for Friday and what is a success, but we are going to be moving a few things, and so we'll be changing around and we will discuss this. And JD, is there anything you want to talk about before we go? And
nope, I think you've covered it all, Marcia.
And Larry, anything you want to say? You've got some things going on, and you're doing a blog, and you're doing real well with the book, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun ride, and hopefully it's still got some legs and just sort of keeps going.
I think it's got legs. I don't think it's going to be something that stops. I think it's just going to keep going. And I think
from your lips to God's ears,
Marcia. Well, I know. We hope. We all hope, right? But I think it's going well, and I think that, this is a good thing. I mean, you've not been doing this that long, and so I think to have this kind of a success is great, and people liking it and telling you that, I think it's a good thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, people have been writing for years.
I do. I agree.
Larry asked me about his stories. I think you need to take that first short story and turn it into a novella because that's the one I like the best.
Yeah, I may. I sort of did them. The reason on the short stories was I've got them on different lengths, mainly just, you know, for competitions to be able to put them in there. But I thought I'd put them as a group and just, you know, sort of almost give them away just to get them out there. But
I like
but
the first one and the last one together. I think you need to make them like into one story, and that
yeah.
first story to make it longer, because that was really good. That was the good one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
You like the lesson in that one?
Yes, I like the lesson
yeah.
in that one.
What's funny about that is because I had torn my calf muscle, and so somebody had taken my handicapped parking place, and
oh.
I was hobbling in. So that's where that story came from.
But you were not happy then, right?
Not really.
I can
happy.
Identify with that one, and then the last story sort of brought that together. I cracked up.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We won't say anything. But if you take that story and the last story and sort of make it longer, that would be
mm-hmm.
interesting.
That's
yeah,
a good
yeah,
thing to do. That's a good thing
go
to try.
Somewhere.
Right. That's a good thing to
that's
try.
That's my opinion. I don't have an opinion. What do I know? It's just my
that's
opinion.
You do. Well, you do have an opinion. Well, that's what you try.
Trans from New York. She
do.
Always has an opinion.
Yes, she does.
That's, no, she's from the Bronx. She's got an opinion.
And if anybody wants to, you know, I'm going to put, right, I'll put after, you know, because I know that Michael's going to have that video out, so I will put that at www.michiganavenuemedia.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my two new books are out, No Clues, No Shoes. And that is a children's book. And my other book is Feel the Passion, and that is
oh,
out with
that.
World
that
Castle.
So hot.
And
so
you gave
hot.
A really good review on that. Thank you. And so I think that this is a good thing. So everybody's got something to talk about, and we had a good show. It was very good, and the phone, nobody got lost on these phones. So we
yes.
both, Brand, you survived your show. We survived this show. Okay, that's
there.
It. You know, I think there are
thanks
issues.
Thanks for having me on today, Marcia.
No,
thanks
no,
for
you're welcome,
JD. On.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It
thank
was fun.
You.
You know, it's always good to just kind of wing it. Is what we do here. And whoever wants to come on is welcome on our show. So I'd have a good night, everybody, and thank you all for coming on and listening. And so I'll talk to you soon. Okay.